And we'll dive into that later on with Randy Ambrosi. Right now, let's bring in Solomon Volge, the TSN Flames reporter. Solomon, how are you today, sir?
Oh, good, good. It's a little bit different of a vibe. You know, I think this is my first day off in May, so it's a little bit different of a feeling. But I mean, can't complain. It's just this is my first quote unquote real playoff experience as a reporter. So you're just figuring out the highs and the lows and how to cover things, and you feel a little bit of what the team feels. And yeah, definitely a fascinating few weeks. Definitely. A little bit surprising for Flames fans to be where they are, but Edmonton had a hell of a series. So,
well, let me venture to say that based on a 7-game series with Dallas and this one against Edmonton, you got your dollar's worth there. I mean, you went through a lot of stuff, didn't you?
Yeah, and I think the team did too. Daryl Sutter uses the term process quite a bit, and I think this was part of it. I don't know. If you look at the way Rasmus Anderson and Noah Hanifin, how these players that didn't really have big game experience were being thrown out in major situations. And there were a lot of highs and there were a lot of lows that came with it. You know, the defenseman especially, there's quite the learning curve there. And I do think you look at unforced errors in this series, and that's the difference. But overall, it's the questions around this franchise, I don't know whether that process gets changed because you might be losing key pieces, but either way, it is heartbreaking if you're a Flames fan, because to me, guys, this is probably their best shot at a Stanley Cup since 89. I know the 04 team caught people off guard, but this was the group that probably had the most talent of anyone prior to 1989.
You know, there's a lot of retro in what we saw over the last 5 games. I mean, I can easily recall what happened in the 80s, and I think that the matchup is somewhat similar. Edmonton was a high-skilled, top-heavy team, and Calgary was a very thick team, and Edmonton won more times than not, and it sort of stacks up the same way, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly, and I think Calgary had a little bit more of that meat in this roster. If it's, you know, you have Milan Lucic as a fourth line player that was being effective in his role, even guys like Blake Coleman who play with Jam and Andrew Mangiapane who's pretty feisty himself. I just think that Edmonton asserted itself in a way that Calgary just didn't match. You know, it's one thing to look at personnel, but how many shifts or how many times during a game did Calgary control the game flow or control the pace? And pace might be Daryl Sutter's favorite word. It's Edmonton asserting its identity, which they are a lot more north-south of a group, and they like to score off the rush, and Calgary just couldn't counter that. And I'm not sure if it was, I think Calgary had the personnel. I just wonder if they were as adaptable as they could have been. And maybe if they were a little bit too rigid in how they forechecked or how they, you know, tried to beat Edmonton systems-wise. I know there's going to be a lot of deductions in the coming weeks and months about all that. And it is a lot of talent on this Calgary roster that you look at and say you probably could have expected more. But that's the playoffs. And, I mean, good for Edmonton. Edmonton had a phenomenal series, and they were really balanced. And they had a phenomenal – their coach did a phenomenal job, too.
Okay, I'm going to throw a couple of things at you. I'd like your response to them. I do stuff on the eye test. So the eye test told me that Markstrom didn't have the best of series, and also that there were times, obviously Calgary can manufacture goals fast, but there were times that when they had done that, they seemed to stop for about 2 or 3 minutes, and then Edmonton just jumped on them. And I don't know how you correct that, but that was my observation. Do you agree with that?
For sure. On the Markstrom one, I couch it. He played so well for, 95% of this season. I just think you need a save. I think the defenseman could have been more responsible for sure, but I think you need a save on one of those two-on-ones or three-on-twos. I look at the goal that I think it was Jesse Puljujärvi that scored it, where it squeaks through his pads, and then Puljujärvi jumped on the rebound there and just sort of batted the puck in. And I agree, like, Markstrom has to bear a little bit of the brunt of this, because he was so phenomenal versus Dallas, and it's it's just not, the game didn't translate quite well. Maybe some teams just have your number. Like, his numbers versus the Edmonton Oilers are not great. In terms of the eye test and what the, you're talking about what the Flames did in the offensive zone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I look at the way, you know, they often had their five-man unit working, and it was almost an extended cycle where the defensemen were really involved. They used both corners of the offensive blue line. And Edmonton, to their credit, I think Edmonton spaced out their defensemen and forwards really well. If you look at the number of goals, for instance, Elias Lindholm scored during the regular season, where he was basically lost in the slot, and then he got off a shot, and he was able to lose defenders. Edmonton just had bodies in those spaces, and Calgary wasn't really able to get those looks. Even when Gaudreau had the puck behind the net and was trying to find Lindholm or Tkachuk in the slot, there was constantly a stick in the way. As a result, Edmonton is able to get the clear out of the zone. And I think that goes to coaching and pre-scouting. And Pierre LeBrun reported yesterday that Edmonton's coaches reached out to Rick Bowness's staff about how they did such a great job versus Calgary and pushed them to the brink. So your eye test is not wrong. I know some of the advanced stats favor the Flames in shot volume and shot metric and expected goals, but you know, Calgary was dominated and outplayed for the majority of this series.
Now, obviously, the Flames can't go out and get a Connor McDavid because there's only one, but how do they, there was a speed difference too. How do they fix that? Or you know, what level is your concern on that?
I just think to me, it's more of a philosophical question, especially if Gaudreau ends up leaving. It's, you know, you're not going to recreate Connor McDavid. You're not contending for the number one pick this year. And like that player comes along once in a generation. But I look at this core of Calgary Flames players that has all sorts of skill and talent, but they have not gotten out of the second round. And I think you look, if you're management, you maybe look at different ways you can build a winner. They've tried to build it on skill, over the past few years. They changed it up a little bit by adding grit additions in like Blake Coleman and Trevor Lewis, who were really good off the ice as well. But I wonder, especially if Gaudreau leaves, if you change your philosophy for how you try to get to the promised land, because, you know, maybe this concoction just will not work for you, right? Like 200 point players, 335 goal scorers. You have your number one center on a massive value contract where he might be worth double what you're paying him right now, but it's not worked. So maybe if Gaudreau walks, maybe you augment, you focus on the middle six of your lineup and even go more all in with depth. I don't think trying to match Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl player for player necessarily is the answer. I think it's more a philosophy question about how you build your roster. I think that they will change up the mix on their blue line. Like, I think their bottom three defense will be different next season. But beyond that, it's just philosophically, how do you, you know, is it about winning the division again? Is it about getting into the playoffs and then anything can happen? And is it about going all in with skill? Because you've done that the past few years. And you might, outside of the Toronto Maple Leafs, you might have had one of the most talented rosters on paper that has not gotten to the conference finals. And I think I would imagine there's some philosophical debates going on in Flames management right now.
Well, there's a number of UFAs on this roster, but you've mentioned Johnny Gaudreau a couple of times. What do you think happens there?
It's a million-dollar question, hey? I think his love for the city is really genuine, and I know that players will say that. They'll say that they want to stay in their spot, and I think it's really genuine that he feels a comfort level here. This team was pretty close this year. My gut tells me that he'll at the very least listen to offers on the market. Like that's just me talking. I think with Calgary being very much a possibility, even though he does listen to those offers, because I think his connection with the city is really genuine. I kind of wonder if they had made it to the conference finals, if that would have reassured him that this group was capable of eventually bringing home a title. And I'm not sure that another early playoff exit that might tell him that, like, is it ever going to happen in Calgary, right? We're all wondering the same thing. You have so much skill and talent, but is it ever going to happen with this group? And I kind of wonder if yesterday, how that transpired, if that might tell him that, like, do you have a shot at winning over here? So I think he'll listen to offers, with Calgary very much a contender for his services, even if he does go to market. But, you know, if they made it to the conference final, I think that would have done wonders for the odds of him staying, for sure.
Okay, we have to talk about the goal. The goal doesn't decide the series, maybe the game, but we don't know what would have happened if it had gone in. But I mean, you talked to a lot of people in post-game. You saw it happen. For me, I just this is what I said earlier. I didn't see any conclusive reason to overturn the call on the ice, and I didn't see a distinct kicking motion. That's just me. But what can you add to that?
I think there's confusion more than anything. I don't think there's necessarily like a right or wrong answer. It's just what defines a distinct kicking motion, right? Is it a certain angle of your foot relative, is it how far the knee bends backwards? Is it whether your skate is pointed inward versus outward, like the range of motion? I think there's just a little bit of variance on what we all define as that. And I mean, I guess in a way, the fact that it was pretty evenly split, it seemed, in terms of opinion. Like, I know other ex-NHLers said that it was a right non-goal. Like, that might be a sign that, you know, the process is working when people from both sides are pissed off, type of thing. But I just, there's a lot of gray area in that rule where, to me, it could be a lot more black and white, where you can define it almost based on numbers, where it's, you know, it's your foot angle or that type of thing. But it's haunting for this franchise, because people still talk here about 04 and Zelina's goal, no goal, and it was in. And I think this is going to be one of them that's going to be talked about too. But at the same time, even the most passionate of Flames fans could probably tell you that they were not going to win this series playing the way they were playing. So it's two things. But, I mean, if Blake Coleman scores and it counts, you don't know what a team can rally around, and those momentum burst during the playoffs that can carry you. But objectively, I think it should have counted, and I'm shocked that they found conclusive evidence to overturn it in that moment. So
just a quick thought before we say goodbye, and you know this team well, so at what point in the series did you think this probably isn't going to work out?
Good question. I just, partway through game one, when you think, okay, this has to be Markstrom's one bad game of the series. Like, this has to be, because Edmonton has a lot more firepower. McDavid has raised his game to another level. If this is Markstrom's one bad game, then they're in a good spot. He'll perform to his heroic 9.30, 9.45 save percentage that we've all come to expect, and it'll be working out in the Flames' favor. To me, when I start to think in game two, you know, this might just be Markstrom's series where he's just not at his A game. That's when it sunk into me that, like, this might be a really tough battle for the Flames, especially since Edmonton's playing so tight defensively. But my initial thoughts were in game one, and just if Markstrom's one bad game is this, then the Flames will probably win this series. But if this is a sign of things to come, then they're in trouble.
Solemn, thanks very much. Really appreciate it. And just for your own knowledge, it's Friday, May 27th.
Okay. Is that significant? Sorry, I have my head.
just because you're spinning around, you didn't know what day it was, I thought I'd refresh you on that.
Oh, thanks a lot. Yeah, I appreciate that. Like, you're so ensconced, and people will tell you about other playoff series that you have no idea about because you're just so invested in the series that you're covering. So good to know it's Friday. So, I mean, it's like the weekend almost. Yeah. So, I mean, it's news to me, breaking news.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
All right. Talk to you soon, guys.
Yeah, that's Solomon Balji, our TSN Flames reporter.